Hebrews 11. Tonight we're going to look at a little bit about faith. Faith. Hebrews 11. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of the sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that should destroy the firstborn should touch them." So here we are seeing all these people, you know, this is called the Hall of Fame of Faith, going down through here, and it's just interesting. I hope this will be an encouragement to you tonight, because if you really look at it, it helps you understand the way God sees things. And the way the devil and the way your own mind will play games with you, I want to hopefully, the Word of God will be a blessing, it always is, but I hopefully will leave here understanding a little more about what God sees as faith and counts as faith. But it's just interesting, all these folks in here, you know, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And Romans 10, 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So the Word of God gives you faith, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you see, a lot of people out there don't put their faith in Jesus Christ and are trying to please God. That says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith in what? The death, burial, and resurrection, the blood atonement, and Him paying your sin debt. And like Brother Paul said a little bit ago, it's not just, that's kind of cool, Brother Paul. Brother Paul. And Brother John. We need a Brother John. Amen. The Revelator. But we're talking about the fact that just believing in Jesus Christ as he walked this earth, and he existed, and even just believing he was buried and rose again, that's not salvation. It's putting your faith in him and saying, it's not me, it's you. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. But if you look at this these passages and some of these people, first of all, let's look at, let's go down to verse 11 of chapter 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now remember what first thing Sarah done? She laughed. She didn't believe. So she didn't put her faith in God to start with. See, it's not about where you start, it's where you end up. And I'm not talking about salvation, I'm talking about your faith. Whether God sees you as faithful or not, it's where you end. She didn't obviously start out very faithful. Matter of fact, Abraham didn't even believe it. If you study that out and read that passage, Abraham was like, what? At her age and my age? But it's calling them faithful. She did have a change of heart and put her faith in what God had said, and then God blessed that. And look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. So it's his parents' faith. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. So they put faith in God that if they just put him, hid him, that God would take care of things. So it was the parents' faith. And then you go down through here, it was Moses' faith. And you talk about Moses' faith. If you read the story of Moses, when God first called him, he's one of the least faithful people in the Bible for the first few days of that anyway. I mean, he comes up with every excuse known to man not to do what God's called him to do. I mean, he just goes on and on and on about, I'm not eloquent of speech, I'm not good at, and God says, okay, I got an answer to that, I got an answer to this, I got an answer to that. And God has to have a lot of answers for us because we're not able. I mean, we just don't have the ability to do what God's called us to do, period. I mean, he has to have answers for all of our reasons of and excuses, right? And he does, he has an answer for everything. But it's talking about Moses' faith. Look at verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So he, by faith, led the people out of Egypt. But he didn't start out very faithful. Remember, he started out giving excuses. But look at it says, choosing rather, verse 25, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now that's where the rubber meets the road right there. And that's what it does for us, because do we esteem the treasures of Christ more than the sufferings of Christ, the following Christ, what we might go through for Christ, more than the riches of this world? And that's where the prosperity gospel really just tears people up and destroys people's opportunities to actually serve the Lord. God never promised any of this is going to be easy. Matter of fact, if you read the Bible, it's quite to the contrary. God's people always go through horrendous things. And, you know, they get their hearts ripped out, their heads cut off. That's God's people do that. But the reason they're able to do it is what it says here about Moses. It says, by faith he forsook, verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He believed God, and he believed that God had something more important for him down the road. And that's what's missing in the churches, I think, a lot of times. I don't want to be missing in this church, is the idea that we're looking at temporal things, and we can't judge everything by temporal things and carnal things. And I'm not saying we don't get you know, eviscerated spiritually and all that other stuff and attacked spiritually, but I'm saying we've got to realize if you really have faith and you really believe the book, then you can look down the road and see past the grave. But these preachers, these prosperity preachers, and a lot of the independent Baptists even probably anymore, are not preaching to see past the grave, to see the eternal. And that's what it is. We have an eternal goal. Our temporal goal here for eternity is to see people saved while we're here. But that's the main goal. The other part of it is past the grave, or past the rapture, if you will. It's into the eternal future. And that's where we need to look. You know, there's just going to be days you don't get out of bed. There are going to be days you don't want to go to church. My wife told me again tonight I had to come to church, so here I am. But I guess as long as she tells me, I don't want to argue with her. So, there are going to be days like that. But we're looking down the road at something. And we're looking down the road at a couple of things. First of all, we're looking down the road at the judgment seat of Christ. We're looking down the road, first of all, for the rapture, hopefully today. Praise God. I plead the blood in the name of Christ every day, and I beg God to come get us out of this dirt hole, man. I really do, because this place is a circus turned inside out. But we look for the rapture. We're looking for His blessed hope, glorious appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking past that. We're looking to the judgment seat of Christ and realizing we're going to be judged for what we've done for Christ. And then we're looking past that to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on this earth, and us being back here with Him, seeing Jesus Christ rule and reign with the rod of iron. And we got a lot to look forward to. I feel sorry for people that don't believe the Bible. I really do. I feel sorry for people that maybe they believe it, they just don't understand it, don't rightly divide it. Because when you rightly divide it, it gives you a lot more hope. Yeah. Amen. When you're looking at these things and you're realizing, I'm not going to draw our timeline up here because you guys can see that when you go to sleep probably by now. Amen. You close your eyes and you see the church age and the cross and the rapture. But we're looking down the road, and that's what Moses was doing. He was looking down the road saying, God's going to get us out of here. And that being delivered of Egypt is a type of the rapture. It's a picture of the rapture. And it's just interesting. If you talk about a couple of the folks that aren't in this list. I mean, you look at this list. I mean, you get to verse 31, you got Rahab the harlot is in this list. Saul, and Saul started out good. He is not in this list. I'm talking about Saul, the Old Testament king. He started out humble. Remember what Samuel told him when that was little in thine own sight? And then he told him to obey was better than sacrifice. Because he said he didn't obey because he wanted to keep the animals for a sacrifice. He said to obey is better than sacrifice. He blamed it on the people too. Right? So Saul didn't make it. Solomon, the wisest man to ever walk this earth next to Jesus Christ, is not in the Hebrews Hall of Fame of Faith. Isn't that something? Solomon's a mess. The book of Ecclesiastes is written by a man that had wasted his life. And he started out really well. Rahab, like I say, Rahab, she made the list. Look at verse 32. Jump over to verse 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and Samuel and of the prophets. So Gideon's there. Turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. In Judges chapter 6 in verse 1 it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So he puts them in bondage for 7 years. Now jump down to 11. He's getting ready to deliver him. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained to Joash, you guys can go ahead, Abizurite, whatever that is. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. So here he is hiding and threshing wheat, and God comes up and calls him a mighty man of valor. So he sees him as faithful. Well, what's he do? He does step out in faith and does what God says to do. Remember the story. He ends up getting whittled down to 300 men. And 300 men, they had the vessels with the candles in them, and they tell them, you know, when I say when I shout, I can't remember the exact wording, but you break the vessels, and then they had them surrounded. They seen all these lights, and they thought they were surrounded. So what am I saying? I'm saying God can do more with 300 broken vessels than the enemy can with 100,000. I don't understand it all, but God, He uses broken vessels. He does. And see, that's a part of the devil's scheme, is to break vessels. But God always uses it for His glory. So that's what He did to Job. He said, I'll break Job. I'll destroy Job. I'll take everything Job has. I'll turn Job inside out. He'll curse you. I'll even get his wife to tell him, curse you and die, and he'll quit. And God said, I'm going to use that broken vessel. Amen? The people that actually make it to the end are not the people that don't ever get broken. They're out of the race, don't even know it. A lot of Christianity today, like has been said a million times, it's a million miles wide and an inch deep. But a lot of Christianity today is this feel-good baloney, and they get to the end, and they never have actually been in. They never have actually been in. Or they're taken out because of something. You know, if your roots are an inch deep, you're going to be able to be taken out pretty easily. Amen. And I'm not saying to challenge the devil, because he... But here he calls him a man of faith. Gideon makes the Hall of Fame of Faith. 300 men, and he wins that battle. Now look at Judges chapter 4. This always gives me a chuckle. Barak. In verse number, let's read 8 through 10 to start with. Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. If you go, he tells the woman, if you go with me, I'll go. Otherwise, I'm not going. This guy's in the Hall of Fame of Faith, right? Almighty man of valor. He tells the woman, you lead, I'll follow. Basically, I'm not going without you. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine own honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of the woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Then you get down to verse 13. It says, and Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harosheth of the Gentiles and the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And let's see. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak. So Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. So these people that he's calling faithful, I mean, when you read the stories, we just don't see things the way God does a lot of times. I mean, a lot of times if we're not careful, and I think the devil does this too, he'll want us to think a certain way. He'll want us to think about, well, if God calls somebody and they're faithful, they just jump out and do it. And it's victory all the way. That's not the way it ever works in the Bible. I mean, everybody he ever called, other than a few times, I've heard pastors' testimonies where God called them to preach and they went to preach. And they were younger. Maybe they got called to preach and God opened the doors for them and they went. But usually it's an arm wrestling contest. It's like wrestling with the angel of the Lord. I mean, and usually they don't want to do it. I know I didn't want to do it. I mean, He tricked me into it. I mean, He really did. I tell you a story. He tricked me into it. We had a preacher over in Illinois, and he asked me, he said, do you want to go to the prison with me? I'd never been to the prison. Been threatened to send there a couple of times. I'd never been to the prison. Probably should have been there a couple of times. But I'd never been there, never been in there. And I said, well, sure, I'll go. And it took like a month, month and a half to get all our credentials because of Illinois, you know, they're dragging their feet, probably liberals trying to deny it. But anyway, we finally get in there, and they called me He called me one day and said, hey, look, I just want to let you know before I let anybody else know that we're leaving the church. And I thought, oh, man, that stinks. I never even thought about the jail ministry. So I went and helped them load their truck up and stuff, and they were leaving, and I got a call from a woman that said, "Hey, this is so-and-so from the prison, and you got approved. Are you guys going to be here Sunday?" And I said, "Well, got a little problem." I said, "The pastor's leaving." So she goes, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I'll be there anyway." And I thought, did I say that? And I didn't know what to do. So all I knew to do is go in there and have church. I had no idea what to do. I'd never been in that situation before. We just went in there, prayed, sang some songs, preached, saw people get saved, and went home. I mean, that was almost every week for 8 years, every Sunday. And I didn't want to do it. Matter of fact, the first day I went in there and that gate closed, and then I went in there and that steel door closed, I thought, man, I'm in the wrong place. I hope they don't keep me. But after they heard the preaching, they said, "Nah, get out of here." But I mean, that's the way the Lord set me up. Because I would have never done it. I mean, no way. No way. But, you know, I don't know. If there's another Hebrews 11 written, I hope I'm in it somewhere. I hope we're all in it, but I doubt if I'd make it. But you look at these people, and it gives you some hope because, I mean, none of them, a lot of them didn't even start out well, you know. Then you get up to the New Testament, and you look at Paul, right, a murderer of Christians. We had the coats of the murderers of Stephen laid at his feet as he allowed it to happen. And then God uses him to write 14 books of the New Testament and to be the apostle to the Gentiles, set the church age doctrine in stone for the church. Isn't that something? So I hope that this is encouraging, because, I mean, the simple part for me to figure things out is God used Balaam's donkey. If he can use Balaam's donkey, he can use anybody. But the donkey was willing, so all you got to do is be willing. But when you start reading this Hall of Fame of Faith and you see people in there like, you know, Moses, the excuse maker, Gideon, the guy hiding there threshing wheat, Barak saying, "Hey, I'll go if you go with me, lady." And then Rahab, the harlot, I mean, he's got us covered. Anybody could be found faithful in God's eyes if they just get in. And it's not a matter of whether you've been in yet, it's whether you get in and go forward. Amen? And you know, I don't care what the brethren think. I don't care what anybody in the world thinks. What God thinks is what matters. Because I've heard over and over and over, "Oh, that person's not qualified. That person will never be able to do anything for the Lord. That person, because of their past." And I'm like, man, you got so much pride. How could you even be saying that? You know, I mean, think about it. It's up to God who he uses. Not some pharisaical pastor or Bible teacher. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to attain the requirements God's give for a pastor and a deacon. But you notice I said we, because those are requirements that every Christian ought to be fulfilling. He just puts it at a different level for the pastor. Every Christian ought to fill all those. That's for a good Christian. Those are things to be a good Christian. Those are not things just for the pastor. Amen? Those are people, everybody in pews, everybody ought to be attaining. That ought to be your goal, is to meet all those marks. You know? But here he is in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, calling out all these faithful servants that we'd look at and say, man, I don't know, really? But yeah. Now Joseph, that's an easy one. You can see Joseph all the way through. He was just, it seemed like Joseph always did right. Biggest type of Christ in the Old Testament, biggest picture of coming Christ, and I don't know, well over 100 similarities in the typology between him and Jesus Christ. And but it also is interesting that Saul and Solomon didn't make the list. And, well, another one that made the list that's kind of is Samson. I mean, you have to look at Samson and say, what in the world are you thinking? I mean, how many times did she get the Philistines in there? And he's like, I don't get it. I'm like, okay, but he's on the list. Amen. So we don't see things exactly the way God sees things, but it's just interesting that King Saul and Solomon not listed. But Rahab is. Moses is. And we've got all kinds of folks on there. Oh, yeah. Sarah, the doubter, she's on there.